From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United States Senate on Wednesday voted 52-47 to overturn the Federal Communications Commission decision on net neutrality. All 49 Democrats voted for the bill, with three Republicans joining in. The Senate used the Congressional Review Act as a vehicle to defy the FCC. That agency, under Chairman Ajit Pai, moved last December to undermine its net neutrality policy in the face of massive and unprecedented public opposition. Wednesday's Senate vote was also the result of millions of Americans rioting and calling their representatives. Joining me to discuss this vote and what's next is Tim Carr, Senior Director of Strategy and Communications at Free Press. Welcome to the program, Tim.
Hi, Sonali.
So what was it that led up to the Senate vote? I mentioned millions of Americans had been rioting and calling. There were forced protests. And last December, it felt like it was a done deal. The FCC had had its word. And then there was this glimmer of hope on the horizon. Maybe the Congressional Review Act could be a vehicle. So I'm assuming between then and now, 5 months of intense grassroots activism must have been developing.
That's right. A coalition of groups that work together under a website called battleforthenet.com have been organizing millions of phone calls to members of Congress. We've done in-district meetings. We've organized a lot of online websites and services like Etsy and Reddit to organize their members to get active here. And, it was a real uphill battle because, of course, you have a Republican majority in both chambers of Congress. You have a Republican in the White House and a Republican chairman at the FCC. So we, in order to overcome those odds, we had to do a lot of grassroots organizing. And we were confident in many ways because we looked at public polling that showed it didn't matter whether you were a Democrat or a Republican. Large majorities, more than 80% of Republicans, support the original net neutrality rules that were in place. So by organizing the grassroots, we hope to get a message through to Washington, D.C., where the phone and cable lobby has much more power. And the Senate vote on Wednesday proved that we were successful.
Now, the Congressional Review Act is basically a way for Congress to decide whether or not, if it does disapprove of a decision taken by a federal government agency, that it can overturn that. So in a way, this sounds like exactly what this act was intended to do, right?
That's right. The Congressional Review Act is a somewhat arcane process that was introduced during the Newt Gingrich leadership in Congress that was intended to roll back regulations by allowing Congress to override federal agencies when they make new rules. And so we've used it to our advantage here. And it's really important because we've been working on net neutrality for more than a decade now, but there really hasn't been a reckoning in Congress. We haven't been able to really get members on the record to show us whether they support net neutrality or oppose it. Now, you'll hear a lot of rhetoric, even if you listen to those who have voted against the resolution of disapproval, saying that they support net neutrality. But that is just rhetoric. When it comes down to a vote, you have to prove that by voting for this resolution. And so as we move from the Senate, where we've had this bipartisan victory, three Republicans came over and joined all of the independents and Democrats in the Senate. We move the Senate to the House, we're going to be continuing this grassroots pressure, getting people in congressional districts to call their representative and to make that person go on the record as to whether they support this immensely popular principle of net neutrality and also whether they oppose what the Trump FCC did last December, which is probably the worst decision in the history of that agency.
Now, what's next? Let's talk about the fact the Senate vote is just the first step, right? I mean, this was also a hard-fought battle. Every single Democrat had to come through and then a couple of Republicans in order for it to pass. It was a narrow victory, but some are saying that that it's probably not going to end up anywhere because you still have the House needing to vote. And I'm assuming if the House does pass, you would need a president's signature.
That's right. We would need the president's signature. The president would have to then veto it if he wants to return to an anti-net neutrality rule structure. So the people were saying that our odds were very slim when we approached the Senate. And the history of net neutrality has really been an interesting history of people taking power and then taking action and defying those types of odds. We have won when the odds are against us. We've won net neutrality ruling when there have been Republican administrations at the FCC. We just won this ruling in the Senate when you had a Republican majority. And so we like those odds. We know we're on the right side. We have the argument. We know that the law is on our side. We know the facts that are on our side. And we know that the public, in very large majorities, is on our side. So even though there is a lot of skepticism in Washington as to the success, both in the House and eventually in the White House, that's not going to stop us. And, you know, this is just one front as well. We're also, my organization, Free Press, and a number of allied organizations, a number of states' attorneys general have also sued the FCC. So while we're exploring these options in Congress right now with a resolution of disapproval that would void this ruling, we're also taking the FCC to court. And we have a lot of confidence that we'll win on legal grounds there as well. So this fight is far from over. And because there are millions and millions of people who support net neutrality, you know, we're confident that we will weather this momentary setback. We'll continue fighting, and whether it happens in this Congress or the next Congress, we will restore the net neutrality protections that we lost in 2017.
And so, of course, wisely, it is a multi-pronged approach to winning this issue. But on the Senate vote, the press are trying to, or it seems as though they're trying to paint it as a partisan issue. For example, the New York Times had an article saying, Senate Democrats win vote on net neutrality, a centerpiece of 2018 strategy. Now, there is, of course, the danger of this turning into a partisan issue, because if net neutrality becomes a Democratic issue, despite the fact that among the public it's a bipartisan issue, then it could be doomed, because we know Republicans play dirty. If they see it as a win for Democrats, they'll vote against it, even if they believe in it.
Well, the conventional wisdom seeps out of Washington and infects the press in many ways. And there is this tendency to paint this issue in a partisan way. But the public polling shows the opposite. It shows that people of all parties support net neutrality. So really, this really isn't about whether you're left or right, whether you're independent, you're Democrat, or you're Republican. It's really about the future of the Internet and whether you or not you want the control over that future to be in the hands of Internet users and not in the hands of very powerful phone and cable companies.
But of course, Republicans may not care about any of that.
Well, they do care about an upcoming election. I think right. That may factor into their decisions. There is a very contested election coming up in November. And while we don't advocate one way or the other as a not-for-profit organization, I think that also factors into their thinking when they have to make a decision whether or not they're going to vote with the phone and cable lobby and against the best interests of their constituents. Those things seem to matter. We believe we're on the right side of this argument regardless of your politics, and we'll continue to push in that direction and hope for the best outcome.
Tim, have you had any sense that since the FCC decision last December, telecom companies have actually moved forward on pursuing strategies and you know, actually changing their business model to reflect that greater freedom they now have?
Well, I've documented a long history of net neutrality violations. And I've also documented a number of instances where their lawyers, their top executives, had said that in the absence of net neutrality rules, again, net neutrality rules will be in place until June 11th, when the December 2017 order takes effect. But they have said that in the absence of these protections, they have every intention to throttle access. They have every intention to create paid prioritization regimes. So, you know, if there's an opportunity for them to make more money by providing high fast lanes, providing premium access to their users, and there's an absence of rules that would prevent them from doing that, they by all means will go ahead and start to create an internet where only the wealthiest get the privilege of access to the millions and millions of people who go online. And what we're trying to maintain is a simple rule that says, whoever goes online can access everyone else online. It's that sort of open internet principle. Net neutrality is really the reason that we have free speech on the internet, that we can force private networks that provide access to the internet to obey a very simple free speech principle, which is that they can't block our communications in any way.
Could the midterm elections change the way the Congressional Review Act process goes? I mean, is it possible that if there is a Democratic majority in the House past November, that a vote could be delayed until then? A vote in the House could be delayed until then?
Certainly. I mean, when you head into a midterm election, Congress tends to shut down. A lot of the members, certainly in the House of Representatives, are back in their districts campaigning for re-election. So Congress does slow down. So there's a good chance that we won't see net neutrality legislation in this Congress, but in the next Congress. That won't stop us from advocating on this and organizing. But there is a possibility that we won't see net neutrality legislation for quite some time. In fact, we believe the rules that the FCC created in 2015 actually adequately provide those protections for internet users. So for us, it's just a matter of restoring those rules, which is why we are pushing for the CRA to get passed in Congress in this session.
Now, follow-up is often important when your member of Congress does the right thing. I mentioned millions of Americans have been writing to their representatives, calling them. Do you want, or are you asking for people who did that to thank their representatives now? Because, of course, members of Congress do like hearing from their representatives, do like being complimented for doing the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. And we have gone out to all of our activists and asked them to do things like that, to thank their senators for voting in favor of the CRA. And especially, I think we owe a debt of gratitude to the three Republicans, Senator Murkowski, Senator Collins, and Senator Kennedy, who voted in favor of net neutrality. So yes, we should be thanking our representatives when they do the right thing, as well as, you know, demanding better behavior when they intend to do the wrong things.
So are there any other things while Congress is sort of waiting, or while we're waiting for the House to take up this vote, while we're waiting for the lawsuit that you mentioned earlier to wend its way through the courts, any other things that people can do to try to save net neutrality?
Well, there has been a really interesting local campaign for net neutrality. We've seen more than 30 states weighing legislation. Some states, Washington and Oregon, have passed legislation that protects net neutrality on a state level. There are now more than 120 mayors across the country, representing more than 26 million people, who have taken a net neutrality open internet pledge that says that they will not do business with ISPs who violate net neutrality. So if you've already called your members of Congress and want to do more, it might be good to check out where your mayor stands on this issue. And we have a useful guide for that at a website called mayorsfornetneutrality.org, where you can go and you can see the 120 mayors who've signed on. And if your mayor has not, you can write a letter to him or her and urge them to sign this pledge and join with other net neutrality cities.
Do you worry, Tim, that while we have a nation that is struggling with the expanding war and ongoing racism, a president who drops, terrible racist epithets and undocumented immigrants being rounded up and deported, that the issue of net neutrality becomes sort of lost in the mix and loses its significance? I mean, it's hard to sort of pin down something as abstract as net neutrality as being critical to movements.
Well, it has been critical to a lot of the movements that have used the internet to organize. If you look at the Me Too movement, the March for Our Lives, if you look at Black Lives Matter, you'll see that the internet has become an essential tool for them organizing members, getting their message out in ways that, get around the mainstream media, which often ignores a lot of these issues. So that's why a lot of social movements, of civil rights groups, racial justice movements, reproductive rights groups are supportive of net neutrality principles, because these organizations understand how fundamental an open internet is to their ability to get their message out and to organize people to take action.
Give out a website where people can find out more and follow the story.
Freepress.net is one place you can go. We have a lot of explainers there about net neutrality and what's next. You can also go to battleforthenet.com, which is the coalition website, where there's a lot of tools that you can use to call your members of Congress and alert others to this issue.
That's freepress.net and battleforthenet.com. We'll post links to those from our website later. Thanks so much, Tim.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My guest is Tim Carr, Senior Director of Strategy and Communications at Free Press. We've been discussing the Senate vote to overturn the FCC's decision on net neutrality. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for a daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.